Welcome to the Dominion Embassy Broadcast. Lord, I love to sing your praise. You are about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
Do you know it is wrong for not, and please listen very carefully to me. I chose to talk about this because I think that is not a Sunday message. But I believe that it is wrong, and please don't misunderstand me, for a mother or a father, in the name of a mother and a father bringing you into the world, even when you are 50 years, he still wants you to consult him or her on every decision. In the name of, I set you up. In the name of, I brought forth to you. In the name of, if I didn't do it, you will not have existed. That one is witchcraft. Please, don't misunderstand me. Even when you are 70 and your mother and your father is 90, you are still their child. Please, I'm not saying that deny their fatherhood. I'm not saying that don't honor them as parents. I'm not saying that don't report to them or give to them what is due them. What I am only saying is that let us live a life of balance, where a mother, and I'm not talking about physical mother, please understand me, where a spiritual mother or physical mother, if you want to think about it that way, will look at his teenage and then his child who has gone into marriage to come back to him and ask him, this one, should I do this or should I do that? Or this one, can you give me your blessing for this and can you give me your blessing for that? No, it should not be like that. Naturally, it's not even tasty. But sometimes we go to the extreme with this whole thing. Not the balance situation. Because a time comes that, according to God, the child should be able to live. The mother and the father live. It does not mean that he denies that he is the father or he is the mother. It does not mean that he does not give his respect to him. But God says that live and cleave unto something else that I may have planned for you. Hallelujah. It does not mean that you don't seek his advice or his guidance or his blessing before you set out. What I am only trying to make us to understand that we should not dominate the life of people so that people feel that every bit of thing you must be consulted. And when they don't consult you, they have spited you as a father. For goodness sake, your child, by the grace of God, you have brought him up to a place of maturity, and rejoice that he can make certain decisions on his own. That should be your joy. That should be your joy. Hallelujah. Let us make sure, ladies and gentlemen, that we are not played into domination, because there is a fine line between dominion and domination. Yes, God wants you to have dominion, but he does not want you to dominate. Hallelujah. So let's watch these things. Let's watch these things very, very carefully. Jesus says something in the book of Luke chapter 6. Is it verse 40? Luke 6:40 or so. He says that a disciple is not above his master, but everyone who is perfect is like his master. What was Jesus trying to say? He was just trying to tell us that there are changing scenes of life, and every spiritual parent and physical parent must understand that a time comes, your child can never be above you. But a time comes that your child becomes, in the King James, you use the word perfect. In the Greek, it's talking about matured. Says that he becomes like his master. It doesn't mean that he is more than you. But Jesus is trying to make us understand this balance between disciple and master. That there is a point of maturity, and we should not dominate people's life as if they are children forever. Can I have an amen? Witchcraft is counterfeit spiritual authority. And King David established true spiritual authority. Saul had a true spiritual authority that degenerated into witchcraft. That degenerated into a counterfeit spiritual authority. He started to dominate. And normally people who are like that, they don't like people whom they cannot control. And they try to exterminate them because they are too much for them. They have matured too much. We should get rid of this person. So Saul, under the spirit of witchcraft, hunted David over and over and over and over and over. Always obsessed with the mind that this guy must die. This guy's ministry, this guy's life must come to an end. Because you are not using dominion that God has given to us. You have now been tricked into domination. But watch David. David established true spiritual authority or dominion over Israel. Do you know how he did it? He did not do it by self-appointment. He did not do it by self-promotion. He says, as for me, until this man dies a natural death, I am not going to be your king. Leave me alone. And people will tell him, can't you see that everybody likes you? He says, no way. There is no way. This man has been anointed before. God has used him as my king before. There is no way. I am not going to be the person to bring him down. I'm not going to be the person to spread his weaknesses, problem that his demon possessed and all. I am not going to be the person. If somebody else will do it, fine. But I'm not going to be the instrument God is going to use to bring this man down. That is how to establish true spiritual authority. Not by self-appointment, Adonijah. Not by self-promotion. That is what leads to what we call territorial preservation. That is why, like an agama lizard, you don't want any other agama lizard to come and cross. Because this is my terrain. This is my area. Witchcraft. I don't know why I'm spending so much time here. But let us learn to stick to areas of authority God has given to us. Be careful in your life not to go beyond your area of authority. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, following, he says, I'm very careful about that thing, that I don't go beyond what God has given to me. I don't make my boast in areas that I know it's not my area. And I tried to spread myself. Paul was not an apostle to everybody. He was an apostle called into the ministry. But it was to some specific people, Gentiles, that he was an apostle. And even the Gentiles, some specific towns, he named them. Peter too, they were all territorial apostles. Their apostolic authority did not go beyond certain places. He couldn't make those laws in those churches because the authority was not there. We must be careful. We stick to our ranking. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something little about witchcraft before I go on. Galatians chapter 5 verse 20. I was amazed whilst I was studying this subject that the Greek word translated witchcraft in Galatians 5:20, saying that witchcraft is a fruit of the flesh, is the word pharmakeia. Pharmakeia is spelled P-H-A-R-M-A-K-E-I-A. Pharmakeia. The root word is pharmakon. It is out of that word that we get pharmacy. So the first meaning of the word witchcraft, as a fruit of the flesh that we know degenerates into demonic. As I said, witchcraft, rebellion is like witchcraft. And Saul had to end up in the house of a witch, because you have to gravitate there. That spirit is upon you. The witch of Endor. Pharmakeio, the first meaning is medication. Medicine. The root meaning is a drug, a spell-giving potion, or poisoner, druggist, pharmacist. Oh, yeah. So do you know what the Bible is saying? It says that be careful of the fruit of the flesh. He was mentioning fornication and all that, and then he got to a place and he mentioned a spell-giving potion, or becoming a druggist, or using medicine. You know, it's not as if you have gone to India. But the natural flesh of the human being is said that he can poison and drug people. Drug. D-R-U-G. Drug. Pharmacon. Drug them. So that they are always under the influence of a potion. That is witchcraft for you. So witchcraft exists in the body of Christ. Do you understand the word craft? Craft means a skill. It's a skill that is learned. If you read the dictionary meaning of the word craft, he's talking about people who are skilled and trained in particular things, like carving, wood carving, weaving, pottery. That is what we call a craft. It's a skill. And the devil imparts these domination skills to people. So we must always ask God for these things. Grace and mercy. Because the line is too thin. But as I end witchcraft, please note how I began. Nothing is yours. Don't be possessive. Your children, a time will come, they will go. They have to go. They won't consult you. They have to take a decision. You will not always be there. You die and go. And they have to be there. All right. The next instrument of domination I want to talk to you about, God help me, is fear and threats. Fear and threats. Fear and threats. May fear and threats be far away from your life and from your dealings with your family and with your churches as branch pastor. May fear and threats. Don't put fear into people. Fear. It doesn't come from God. God doesn't come so that we are all afraid. Of course, when he comes, fear comes into us. His presence, but it's just because of certain things with our nature. That one, the fear will come. But you know, always he says that fear not. Don't be afraid. See, I know. The fear shouldn't be there. Hallelujah. Fear and dread. God does not woo us into obedience and action by fear. So don't put fear into people. Don't put fear into your wife. Don't put fear into your husband or your children. Don't put fear. If you want the Holy Spirit to flow in your family, they take away fear. Let love. Let them respond by love. God rules us by his love. Paul says, 2 Corinthians 5:14, the love of Christ constrain us. Says that the way we are obeying God, preaching the gospel, is because God's love. It constrains us, it propels us. That is the spring of action. It is not fear. after the cross, you don't frighten people to be. That's domination. So Colossians chapter 4 verse 6 says that let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Let your speech be always, not sometimes, say always, when you are speaking to every man, speak with grace. Why? People who are always speaking with curses and woes and as not deserving it do not realize the work of the cross. They do not realize what Jesus has done, because the curse is away. Wow. I thought you were going to be excited about that. The curse of the law, whether it's Malachi concerning tithe, is away. Hey!
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and His kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
Because of what Jesus did, he has taken all of those intimidation things away, so that in the New Testament we will respond unto him because we love him, not because we are afraid that if I don't obey the pastor he will catch me, or not because if I don't come to church the way things are going right now, if I don't come to church maybe God will hit my neck with a stick. God wants you to come to his presence because you love him. Hallelujah. And that is how God wants us to do. Fear, threats, bully does not really transform. Love does. Galatians 1:20. The anger of man does not work the righteousness of God. It does not bring about God's order. Wrath is talking about violent passion. It's just one example of passion that was used, wrath. But it does not bring about God's order. It does not mean that if you are doing something wrong, the Bible should not be used to point out to you that if you do this is a consequence according to the Bible. It does not mean that. So don't misunderstand me. That's why I said this message is not, it's a fine line message. It's not a Sunday message. It's a message that you have to brood over. Fear and threats. It does not bring God's order. It takes the Holy Spirit out. Because you are using a counterfeit spiritual authority to get some obedience. Do you know leadership is not a position? It's a grace. It's a grace. It's not a position. Hallelujah. Now please understand that if I am use the Bible on Sunday to tell you that if you do this, the devil can get you, it doesn't mean that I am wrong. I have to point out to you the consequences as the Bible has put there. But I have to put grace in and say that the devil me, watch the way that these things are said. Me. Hallelujah. That one is putting some grace in the words. Because the devil has no right to any child of God. And don't throw them to the devil. Doesn't deserve them. By the cross of Christ, we are free. Stand fast in the liberty that Christ has made you free. And don't be entangled again on the bondage. Enough of that. Let me talk about the next thing. The fourth instrument of domination that must not be part of your life. Money. Money. Hey, money. People use money to dominate other people. Money. They use their need. They manipulate their needs. May God supply our needs in such a way that we will not be under bondage. Oh yeah, I mean this. Because there is a way God supplies needs. There is a way that you, in your own way too, you can get your needs met. God's one, there is no sorrow attached to it. But the one that you all use your own wisdom, your own ways to get, there is sorrow attached to it. There was a time in the book of Genesis chapter 14 or so, this king of Sodom said, oh, Abraham, take these goods. Abraham says, no, I won't take it. Do you know why Abraham did not take it? He was a man who dominated him. You know, he has gone to conquer these people. He understood warfare. And this man, under the tricks of the devil, wanted to control Abraham by saying, okay, now you've conquered me, take the booty. Abraham says that, look, I've sworn to God, who is the possessor of everything, that I won't take it from you. You. Otherwise, you will control me. And say, it's because of me. If I had not done it, Abraham would not have gotten rich. And Abraham would have indirectly paid allegiance to this man. Next time he has to go and salute him. And he is a heathen. So he says that because of Christ, because the source of this thing is steeped in evil and idolatry and all that, me, I won't take it. Lest you come and pervert my righteous look at Sodom and your gods. Okay? So let's watch money. Proverbs 22 verse 7 says that the rich ruleth over the poor. The word ruleth in the Greek is dominion. The rich has dominion over the poor. The poor in the Greek is the needy. In other words, your need can make people just control you. Be careful. The fact that you have a need and there is a supply does not mean that supply is coming from God. There is a supply. When you take it, your righteousness is gone. When you take it, you can boast and say that I have a brand new car, but you know that this one is not really God. Although I came to give a testimony that God did not really open the door. But because you were in a hurry to get your needs met. The book of Proverbs chapter 23 verse 1 to 3. If you can turn there. Proverbs 23 says that, look, if you sit before a ruler, and the Hebrew word, the Old Testament was in Hebrew, right? If I say Greek, I mean Hebrew. The Hebrew word is dominion. Proverbs 23. When you sit with a ruler, consider diligently what is before you, and put a knife to your throat if you are a man given to appetite. That if your need is a burning need, says that die. Be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat. Look at verse 6. Eat thou not the bread of him that has an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainties. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, says he to you, but his heart is not with you. The morsel which you have eaten shall thou vomit up. And the last part is what amazes me, and what says that you will lose your sweet words. You will lose your sweet words. You know, because the food that was, you were hungry. And you think that when you are hungry and you see the food, God provided the food. The Bible is telling you that if you have a need, ladies, are you listening? And somebody comes with money to meet the need, no matter how your need, I don't know whether you can take it, if I tell you whether it's even life and death. I don't know whether you can take it, but that's really what I want to say. But if you know that the person has an evil eye, the Bible says die. It's better you die. You say it's life and death need. Die. says take a knife and cut your throat than to eat it. Because after eating it, you lose all your sweet words. You see how they will send you to the market left, right, center and dominate your life just because they bought you a jeans trouser. You know, Jesus Christ met the needs of some hungry people in John chapter 6. And afterwards, the people were following him to make him a king. But Jesus Christ knew better that these people, in fact, they looked for Jesus and they took sheep and they crossed Jesus. Do you know when they met Jesus, when they asked him, Jesus, when did you come here? They didn't have any aim. They just asked Jesus, when did you come to this place? And do you know the answer Jesus gave them? He says that you people, you are looking for me, not because you saw miracles. If miracles are crampant, fine, I'll take it. It's not because, it's because you ate. Human beings like food than miracles. I tell you, food. In my home, we talk about this thing in such a way that if we hear any song that food is used, I say, look, now I'm telling you, listen to all the Christian music and gun music. There's virtually no difference. It's all about is the money on my easy, but people sing it with passion. I'm sorry. He said, "You go sing it better than go for NASA." Everything food. Everything food. Abba. Food is one way the devil gained dominion. If you like, he dominated human beings. It was food. Simple, plain, food. And the devil just stalked Eve, followed Eve, and made sure that at the time she was hungry and she was by the tree, he will speak. Oh yeah. Because you and I know that when you are full and you see food, you don't desire it. Oh yeah. Unless there's a spirit. There's a demonic spirit. That makes you say, me, when I see food, no matter how full I have to take two blows. Or jollof, no matter how full I have to take the chicken and chew it. But if you're a normal person, there's something in economics. When your need is met, the first food you put into your mouth, you don't hear its taste because you are hungry. But by the time you get to the fifth morsel or blows, you start to, there is salt in the food. In fact, the first one you ate, there was salt. But the problem is that when we are hungry, we don't care. We don't feel anything. We just eat. And the devil knows that that is how human beings are. We like food. I know people who have left their ministry just to go and drink fresh milk in UK. I thought I was the only person who knew until I heard a man of God speak. I said, hey, this is true. You left your ministry to go and eat meat in America. Call it America. Hallelujah. Jesus gave them strong words in John chapter 6. Says that, look, you people, don't labor for food. Don't labor for food. Labor for proper food that will give you life. Don't labor. Some of us, when it's work, we are there on time. When it's church, oh, as a church, it's all how we eat. We eat. Everything is food. Check your life and check our songs. Food. 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 Because we like food. The human beings like food too much. But watch food. Because that is how the devil gained domination over man. Using his stomach, he gained spiritual dominion. And that is the cause of a major confusion in the church in Acts chapter 6. No, check all the confusion in the Bible. No, I'm very serious. One time I preached a very serious message on this thing. Food. Corinthians. The Lord's Supper. People come and they are eating and the pastor has not even blessed the faith. Christians speaking in tongues, prophecy. Have you read Corinthians before? Since you don't come behind in all any gift, spiritual gift and all that, but he says food is the only problem you have. He come the Lord's Supper, somebody eats at one meal and the other person is hungry. Paul says that what? Don't you have homes in which you eat? And he was being sarcastic. No, if you are in church and the pastor says that, what is he telling you? No, you have made the food taking over your life and your decision how you have to get home and go and eat food. Food spoiling your Christian life. Domination by food. So don't let people dominate you by food.
I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.